Blog Talk Radio.
Let's
I was trying to go by a few minutes ago to see if there was any word from Macau on tonight's big fight, but there's nothing yet listed, so I guess we'll have to see. Yeah.
Well, we may get an update sometime during the hour, I'd imagine, so.
Yeah. Well, it seems that Mr. Hopkins will be fighting in Atlantic City.
So they have made that for Atlantic City. That's a huge fight. That is a huge fight. And you know what? Kudos to Bernard Hopkins at the age of, soon to be age of 50.
Right.
Not only, you know, looking for a unification fight in the light heavyweight division, but also taking on who, you know, widely considered the boogeyman of the light heavyweight division, is Sergey Kovalev. Kovalev is considered by most to be, by most accounts, I would say, to be the most dangerous guy in the light heavyweight division. So, you know, even at this age, Bernard is taking on challenges that many younger men wouldn't take on. So you have to give him all the credit in the world. He truly is a living legend. And, you know, Floyd Mayweather talks about himself as the best ever. But in all honesty, Bernard Hopkins is the only true all-time great that's walking the earth active today.
Right.
I don't think Manny Pacquiao or you know, my favorite fighter, Juan Manuel Marquez, Floyd Mayweather, they're great fighters. They're first ballot Hall of Famers. But Bernard is truly an all-time great, you know, in the mold of Archie Moore and Sugar Ray Robinson. So.
Sure. And, you know, he's on and off the canvas. He's a terrific person. He's always been very good with his family. He's always been there for people around him. I know people that know him in South Philly that just speak reams of things about him that people don't know that he's done for the young kids in the area. So, you know, he's always been one of my favorites. I know he's one of Chris's favorites because Chris used to used to fix his teeth, and but he told you the story about Bernard wanted to get the gap filled, and he said you're gonna have to find enough epoxy to get it.
Wow. But, you know, the funny thing about Bernard Hopkins, too, is physically, athletically, he is, you know, he's not the most physically gifted or athletic fighter. He's gifted,
right.
Definitely, specifically at this age. But he's never been, you know, an A-plus in speed or an A-plus in power. You know,
right.
He's always been, you know, a solid B-plus in all these categories. But his strength has been, you know, not only is he an A-plus in toughness, but I think the thing, too, with Bernard speaks to us, especially being able to do it at the age that he's doing it now, what it speaks to is having a mind for it. That's the intangible that doesn't get weighed on scales when we when we break down fights. You know, we break down fights when we read these pre-fight report cards. The fight's broken down on paper, but what you can't kind of quantify are the intangibles. And Bernard Hopkins has a boxing mind, kind of like unlike any other, and that has carried him longer than you know, than a lot of athletic gifts have carried other fighters. So, I mean, he's really phenomenal. You really have to give it up to him.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that fight's going to be on Saturday, November 8th at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. And it will be carried live on HBO. I talked to Russell Nelson.
No, that's not even a pay-per-view fight. That's just going to be an HBO fight. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Russell told me that the seats for the fight are $300, $200, $150, $100, and the nosebleed section $50. But that so again, that's November 5th, the Boardwalk Hall. That's the old Municipal Hall, right?
I believe so, sir.
Yeah. Wow. So that could fit. That. I know that for football games, they fit 10 to 12,000 in there. So. I remember the old Miss Americas. They used to get around 20,000. They would squeeze them in there. But so November 8th, that's a Saturday night. The other one I was going to ask you about was someone we hadn't seen or talked to in a long while, Austin No Doubt Trout.
Wow.
That one.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to watch that fight. He was in against Daniel Dawson, who was from Australia and lost three fights, I should say. He was stopped once, but had never been off his feet. And then he had, you know, losses to Daniel Gill, who was a former champion, as well as Sergey Zindrzak, who I liked a lot, who was a former champion at 154. So he was brought in you know, to make Austin Trout look good as a credible opponent for, you know, a televised fight, but also to make Austin
right.
Trout look good. You know, Austin Trout essentially dominated the fight, but round three, he got dropped hard twice, And, you know, so because of that, he had to overcome adversity. Outside of those two blips in the screen, he completely dominated his opponent. What it tells me about Austin Trout is what I already knew, that when Austin Trout boxes within himself, which he didn't do in that third round and he wasn't doing at different points in a fight, but when he boxes within himself, he you know, he's a very talented fighter who can beat almost anyone in the division, which is why he was able to beat Miguel Cotto. But at the same time, he is not as good as the very best of the division, which would be the Canelo Alvarez, the Arizlande Lauras. So he is that step below. Also, styles make fights. I wouldn't favor him fighting the recent 160-pounder Alfredo Angulo, who was just recently at 154. I wouldn't favor him in a fight of that nature, a fight where someone can push him to not fight at his own pace, to make him fight outside of himself. As long as he's capable of fighting in himself, he, you know, again, he's one of the top players in that division. As far as Daniel Dawson, you know, he landed two pretty good punches, dropped Austin Trout. But outside of that, he necessarily, you know, he more so was playing a waiting game. It didn't necessarily step on the gas or do the things necessary, take the risk necessary to win. So, you know, at 36 years old, that's, you know, you probably won't be seeing him back in the United States anytime soon, I would imagine.
Right. The other one that where was that other thing that I wanted to ask you about was, I mean, that was, I agree with you that everything you just said, and so did the judges. I mean, they just, even though he got dropped twice, Trout came back with a unanimous decision of 96-90 all three times. So
yeah, he was only Daniel Dawson was awarded a 10-7 round for the third round. That was all, you know, that was all he was awarded.
Yeah.
So.
What do you think about Antonio DeMarco's got a new opponent, Leonardo Tiner.
Yeah, Leonardo Tiner's been around the block a while. He's you know, he's known as a quality journeyman. For Antonio DeMarco, moving up from 135 to 140, I think a Leonardo Tiner is a good step. I don't think he should be in with any of the killers at 140. 140 traditionally have been a pretty thick division. It's worn a little thin because a lot of the guys are looking to move up to 147, but we all know at 140 we have, you know, the Ruslan Provinikovs, the Chris Algieris, actually, you know, the Lucas Matisse's, Danny Garcia's, Mauricio Herrera's, Lamont Peterson's, you know, it goes on and on and on at 140. So he's moving into a very, very thick division. Also, we have one Adrian Broner who stopped him at 135. At 140, I don't see him necessarily grabbing a title or becoming a titleist like he was able to do at 135. I believe the division is too hotly contested. But Antonio DeMarco is a quality fighter. He's good. He lost to the late Edwin Valerio. He always puts up a valiant effort. He does have a win over a resurgent Jorge Linares, a stoppage win. So he's a quality fighter. Again, don't think he'll make tremendous noise at 140, but if you match him right, he can always be in for an exciting fight and, you know, could give anyone a scare on any given night.
Right. Hey, it certainly looks like it's going to be – what do they got that one for? They didn't set the date yet, but that's who he's got. Maybe.
Leonardo Tiner is a guy he should be able to go ahead and should be able to dispatch of. He's for his career been a different class than Leonardo Tiner.
Yeah.
However, Leonardo Tiner will be the bigger man going into the fight, having, you know, typically fought at a higher weight. But I still believe DeMarco, you know, is going to be the longer, rangier guy. And for all we know, he could have been boiling himself down to 135 and could conceivably even be the bigger man fight night. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. You know, talking about fight night, and they had a huge reception for Kell Brooks when he got back to the mayor gave him the key to the city, and it's nice. He's a nice young guy. Seems to be an upcoming boy.
And you know what? And it's funny because that fight was very interesting to me, and it was interesting for a couple different factors. I think one of the reasons why I found it so interesting was because it was such, you know, a divergent style matchup. You know,
right.
Obviously Sean Porter's kind of a, you know, come forward pressure fighter, mauler, whereas Kell Brook's more of a surgeon, a technician in the ring. One thing I said going into the fight was that I thought that Sean Porter's reputation and his power was being a little overstated because he looked like a killer in his previous two fights. I thought Kell Brook had the tools to somewhat neutralize that, which he did. What I didn't perceive was that Kell Brook would be as strong as he was to be able to negate Porter somewhat inside. I always knew Porter was technically deficient inside, but I didn't think that Brook would have the strength to hold Porter off of him, which he did. The other thing, too, I was really impressed with, honestly, was the scorecards. Brook was the visiting fighter coming from the UK. He's the Sheffield man. Whereas, you know, Sean Porter was the hot commodity on the rise, the Al Heyman-managed fighter, the Golden Boy house fighter. And you know, it was a contested, hotly contested fight. But what it came down to was the scoring. It really did. If you like the cleaner, more, you know, damaging punches, then Kell Brook had to have won that fight. If you like the aggression, but it was ineffective, then, you know, there's no way that then you could give it to Sean Porter if you were just basing it on aggression. Where Zito and I were surprised was typically when a house fighter brings the fight to the visiting fighter. Even if the aggression is somewhat ineffective, a lot of times the house fighter still gets that decision. And so we were actually surprised. We thought Kell Brook won the fight, but we were actually surprised when he was awarded the decision because the decision was honestly scored basically on cleaner, effective punching, which is what it should be scored on. And it's funny, Butch, because, you know, we're so used to seeing the house fighter get the benefit of the doubt just for being aggressive on scorecards that Zito and I found ourselves scoring the fight closer than I might have normally scored it specifically because we are influenced by how judges score fights these days. So it was. I thought it was really a good night for boxing from that standpoint. That I think the judges got it right, you know, regardless of who the bigger draw was at the time. And the one thing people don't realize is Kell Brook sells tickets in London too. He sells tickets in the UK.
So he's big over there. What do you think about Solomon? Sam Solomon was came out this week and said he's going to defeat Jermaine Taylor for Bernard.
Well, he'll be defeating Jermaine Taylor for Sam Solomon. That's the truth. But first, he has to beat Jermaine Taylor. I don't doubt that that he can. You know, there's nothing Jermaine has shown us since the Arthur Abraham fight, and you know he was sidelined for that brain bleed. There's nothing that he's shown us that would have me to believe that he is a world-class fighter at this point in time. But one thing Jermaine Taylor always did have was world-class athleticism. And you know what? I believe he probably still has that. Last I saw, he still had that, although not as athletic at 35, 36 as he was at 28, 29.
Right.
But he's still, you know, he's still athletic. Sam Solomon is not a, you know, a big puncher. You know, the one thing about Jermaine Taylor, you know, he was stopped three times. I mean, he was actually brutally knocked out three times. But he was brutally knocked out by, you know, Kelly Pavlik, Arthur Abraham, and Carl Froch, who are, you know, all, you know, three big punchers, though they have different styles of power, but all three big punchers. Sam Solomon is not a puncher on that level. So, you know, it's a boxing match. I still favor Sam Solomon at this point because he's been a fresher, more active guy. But if there was a chance for Jermaine Taylor to somehow walk away with a title, Sam Solomon would be the champion he would want to look for. I believe right now a guy like Peter Quillen is too young, too fresh, too big, too athletic for him, and you know, Gennady Golovkin is just a different level.
Sure.
So Sam Solomon would be his best, you know, his best shot at final glory. So.
And, you know, years ago we would have thought these guys were ancient because they're fighting at 36 and 40. You know, you just didn't want to do that with these guys.
You know what the funny thing is Sugar Ray Leonard is considered, you know, by most consensus, a top 10 all-time great fighter. You know, his career, essentially, you know, world-class-wise, he was basically done at 32.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, at 32, he was done. He was done on a certain level. And we look at boxers like a Bernard Hopkins, who's almost 50, Juan Manuel Marquez, 40, you know, Manny Pacquiao, 35, Floyd Mayweather, 37. Boxers are allowed to, you know, have a little bit more longevity than they were back then. It was very rare you see an Archie Moore. Obviously, it still is. But, but you know, when you think about the Terry Norris, you know, the Sugar Ray Leonard that was destroyed by Terry Norris, he's 32 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's not like he was 39 or 40, so.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, next week we're going to have we're going to have two guests on. One is the Dave Feldman. David took over his father's program, the famed Marty Feldman. And we want to send, I know they're listening, we want to send our best regards out to Marty. Marty was operated on earlier this week and is in Springfield Hospital up in Springfield, Pennsylvania. But David's going to put on a ungloved,
bare knuckle?
Bare knuckle, that's what I was trying to think of. Bare knuckle fight, and his leading man on that that card is one Danny Batchelder.
Mm.
So we're gonna have Danny and David on next week, and in 2 weeks we have Mr. Kelly Pavlik.
You know, will we? Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of bare knuckle boxing, did you hear or see about this new event that was put on last week called Big Knockout Boxing? Did you hear anything about that, Butch? Where it was Brian Vera against Gabriel Rosado, and what the promoters and the organizers do, they're looking to, they believe it's the next evolution of combat sports, the next evolution of boxing, so to speak.
Right.
And what it is they put the fighters in a circular pit. I'm not exactly sure of the dimensions of the pit, but the pit has a little lip on it, and, you know, it's unique looking.
Great.
And they're 2-minute rounds, and the fights are typically 5 to 7 rounds long. The main event was for the middleweight championship of this new organization, this new sport, and it pitted one Gabriel Rosado of Philadelphia against the tough Texan Brian Vera. I sat back and, you know, I watched the fight. It was really an action-packed fight. And, you know, I think the reason why it was action-packed was because of the rules, because the pit is small. It's circular shaped, so, you know, it's hard to – it made the fighters constantly keep circling. And also, because it's small, you were forced to engage. But I think the big thing, too, that the organizers done, the promoters done, was they booked two fighters who come to fight every night. You know, two fighters who are flawed, but two fighters who are warriors and come to bring a fight. And so I think if, you know, continue to match certain fighters properly, this could, you know, for a guy like Danny Batchelder, this is a place where he, you know, might be able to make a little bit of extra coin. So
we'll see.
I don't see it going away. I don't know if it'll become big. But just like bare-knuckle boxing still here, I don't see this going away. Everything I've read about it, you know, when I have time, I scour the blogs and forums of the boxing sphere. Everything I've read about it, everyone's spoken positively about it. They were somewhat impressed, most people, and somewhat surprised. The only thing is the way it's, you know, the pit is set up, you know, it's easy to trip on the lip and just kind of fall off, but just, you know, fall to the side, not in a manner that's going to get you hurt, but it, you know, can disrupt the action. But outside of that, the one thing I found very surprising was how fluid the action was. I think it was because you had two, you know, basically world-class fighters fighting, so obviously it looked like a ballroom brawl. It just looked like a good fashion phone booth fight between two, you know, quality fighters.
Sure.
So, again, depending on who they draw and how they match them, it's not a bad thing. And I could easily see Danny Batchelder competing in that.
Well, it's basically what he told me on the other day on the phone was that Now, he didn't say about the octagon or anything like that, but he did tell me that they are training. He's training heavy for that, and that Dave has got some things set up overseas for him. So, you know, he says he just wants to get two more years in because the boys are coming up now. Georgie just won his fourth fight as a Golden Glove. And,
oh, wow.
He trains with Danny every day. Danny right alongside his dad, and then he's got his younger boy who wants to get into to boxing. And so he just wants to get two more years in so he can take the time and relax and enjoy his kids.
Right.
You know, we always like to laud people that have done something in sports. And Danny Jacobs had a problem with his five-year-old son health-wise. And since then, he's been visiting the Ronald McDonald houses to help raise money for the Ronald McDonald houses and the host families. And it's usually the kids that are very seriously ill, some battling cancer, some burns. Some, it depends on which part of the country you're in where they send the kids. But we want to make sure that we sent a shout-out to Danny Jacobs for fine work in the community.
Danny Jacobs, you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The cancer survivor, Danny Jacobs.
Yes.
Yeah. That's outstanding. And he's out there helping people who he feels are less fortunate than him because he feels
right.
fortunate that he survived what he's been through.
Yep.
So, I mean, and you know what? And we got to give kudos out to to Anthony Durrell, who was able to defeat Sakio Beak and become the second person in history to be a cancer survivor and win a major title in boxing. So,
right.
Again, I mean, it's good to hear stories like that. And it's even better to hear when these guys feel that they're blessed and they go out and pass that on to someone else.
Sure. What do you think about, the Abraham Smith fight? Has Arthur Abraham and Paulie Smith have started their presser for their fight on the 27th over in Kiel, Germany.
Yeah, what that's heating up. The presser started in Kiel, but the fight's in England. And,
you're right.
Yeah, you know what I was saying is that, and you know, with Paul Smith being a Brit, Abraham said he loves the British crowd. They always, you know, support their man, and they cheer and they sing. But he plans on sending him home disappointed. Again, Abraham is not what he used to be. He still should be the favorite going into this fight. But Abraham his mystique has been cracked since the Super Six. One thing you got to say, though, the guy's been going on carrying titles, and he hasn't been back to the States, but he's been, you know, making a lot of money in Germany and in Europe, you know, defending that belt.
Yeah.
And he and Stieglitz had a marvelous fight. He was stopped for the first time by Robert Stieglitz, of all people, but then he came back and, you know, beat Stieglitz. And, again, he looks to defend that belt. But, you know, he's an old war horse, and he's still going strong.
Great. Well, I got to, it's time to call our good friend, Mr. Cherry, and I'm not going to go off the air. I'm just going to call him right on the air here.
Good old Edgar Cherry, Bon Cherry.
Yep, he's about due to come up there. Russell had him had a fight for him for the end of August, but it must have fallen through. The guy backed out. So we'll get him on here and talk to him.
Hello?
Hey, Edner, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry we missed each other today.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I'm going to be over, we play over at Hardy next week. So I'll get a hold of you during the week. Maybe we can get the families together for lunch after the game.
Okay.
All right. But we got
did you have got my text that my son is not playing football this year?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Yeah, we had signed we didn't sign him up on time.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, so it was like too late. So we will go and try to put him in soccer.
That's good to keep him active. Either soccer or lacrosse.
Yeah. Well, we wish we had lacrosse here, but we don't got lacrosse. We don't have much sports here anyway for these kids. Besides basketball, football, soccer, baseball, softball, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're on the air with Mr. Ty is on with us.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going, Edgar?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. How's the family, my friend?
Pretty good. Pretty good. The family's doing great.
Yeah, that's always good to hear.
Yeah, Edgar, yes, sir.
Do you have any news for us about a date for you to fight again?
No, sir. The only thing, I talked to my manager last week, and so they said October, because a fight just fell through, and so now that's what we're waiting for. So hopefully he should call me pretty soon and let me know what's going on.
Sure.
And you know, that's about it. You know what I'm saying? I was getting ready for matter of fact, we were supposed to fight in August, and so that fight didn't happen. So we just canceled out. I mean, so the fight didn't went through.
Uh-huh. Now you had a pretty grueling 10-week camp that you went through.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Can you tell our listeners about that one?
Say it again.
I said, can you tell our listeners what the grueling that you went through
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We had you know what I'm saying, a fight in August, and I was getting ready for it. 10 weeks, man, and you know working hard and just busting my butt. And finally, like, they said, well, Edna, you're not fighting. The fight didn't go through because there was one fight. Like, the fight was going to be in England, but they wasn't paying money for it. So the fight wasn't worth it. Was going over there for the price they was offering. Then, and plus, I had to move up in weight. I had to move up to 135. To fight the guy in his hometown, and plus there wasn't paying much, so my manager, my promoter, so we just like no, we're not going for it. There was another guy that they had got. He was like 14-0, I think, somewhere around, a Puerto Rican guy, but he didn't take the fight because he don't want to risk it. He don't want to, I guess, risk his. I think it was gonna be for a title, like a little minor title on the line, but he don't want to risk it. He don't want to risk his I guess, you know what I'm saying, his perfect record, and you know, I think they were saying it's a risk fighting me. So now we just left it alone. So now we're looking at October. So after that training camp, I took completely 2 weeks off. I wasn't even thinking about boxing. I wasn't even thinking about running. I wasn't even thinking about nothing. Just spending time with my family. You know, that was it. This week here was my second week back working out.
Good. Now you're in the. Just so everybody knows, you train. You still train with Dan Birmingham, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Still training with him. Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. And how's things going over there?
Oh, everything's going great. You know, Keith is getting ready for a fight, October. So he's getting prepared for that. And after that, everything is going great. Dan is doing wonderful. And, you know, he just ready to get us in shape.
Sure. It's a couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going over to see Aaron Jaco fight here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I ran into our guest here. But in the first fight came off, I looked up in the corner, And who's there in the corner but Mr. Dan Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he stays right there with his guys. He always he's not too far away from anybody at any time, and he's always he's got somebody in the ring. He's either right there at ringside or he's not too far back.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So Edner, if you had to had to pick a fight in your next challenge, who would you want to go to?
You know what? I've been in this sport for so long. Frank, I never turn nobody down. Everyone they got for me, I fought. Timothy Bradley, Paulie Malignaggi, and whatever the team got, because the team will feel comfortable that, hey, Edner, you're ready for this guy. Whoever it is, whoever at 130 pounds, will be ready. It ain't no nitpick and, I don't want to fight him. Whoever's there at 130 and they think they're the best, and, we willing to, take that chance and fight them. And that's it. So, do I have a name? No. Whoever think they're the best at 130 and let's do it. And my team and we will make the right decision who to fight next and who it is and a boxer wanna fight anybody. But that's why you have a team behind you to make the right decisions that, hey, we will get this guy first and we'll get him later or whatever. But as for me, whoever it is at 130.
And you're coming off, obviously, a bit of a layoff, obviously, with the fight cancellation. You had the cut. Obviously, you had the dog attack. Is it just important for you right now at this point in time just to try to get in one more time before the end of the year? Ideally, obviously, you would, take any of the major titleists or anyone who could improve your stock. But barring that, are you looking at just get in just for your activity before the end of the year?
Being honest, I'm just looking at to get like one more. I guess this year's almost over with. Boxing schedule wise, yeah, this year almost over with. But we're looking at probably one more fight. Hopefully one or two depends how the fight goes. I would love just to get not a hard fight, but get a step up fight where we'll put my stock up a little bit. But I don't think I'm in a rush to fight for a world title this year because it would be too fast, too quick. Because of the long layoff in between. Because I had a year before I had fought this fight. Now it's like, now when I fight again, it'd be like 7 months, like, man, it'll be good if I get like a good little tough fight just to put me, like a step of fight to put me right there. And, hopefully next year, then the beginning of the year, then going to fight for a world title. And, if push come to shove and, if we have to do it, hey, we'll be ready. But for me, I would love to get, just to be more, a little bit more active before I challenge a world, fighting for a world title. It don't make no sense. You have a long layoff and you jumping in and, I just want to get a ring rust off and, just to do it the right way. When I go in there, then I will feel real comfortable and ready.
Great. Hey, let me just ask you from your perspective. We got Marcos Maidana coming up against Floyd Mayweather. How do you think that's going to end up?
You know what? Just like it will remind me of Luis Castillo. Just like when Floyd had fought that fight with Castillo.
Right.
First fight, Floyd was complaining. He was roughing Floyd up. He gave Floyd his run for his money. Then what happened next fight, the second fight, Floyd just dominate him, make him look like, hey, you don't belong in here with me. So Troy already got a picture of it. Troy already studied, like, man, what I need to do. Because the first fight, you know what I'm saying, Troy didn't really, you know, have a plan, you know, just like just like Madonna. He had a really, like, had a plan. But now he will box Madonna ears off, and it will be much more easier fight than last fight. Then, you know what I'm saying, he will make Madonna look like, man, you don't belong in here with me, man. You know what I'm saying? I think this time Floyd will box him in the middle of the ring. So the mistake that Floyd did, he went on the ropes and let Madonna just beat on him and whatever. But I think this time Floyd will box him in the middle of the ring, keep him in the middle, and just pick him apart. And that's what I'm thinking. And it'll be a much more easier fight for Floyd.
Sure. Ty, what do you think?
Well, I guess my first question would be, you know, when we look at the fight the second time around, the first, you know, the prevailing thought is, all right, Floyd's seen this guy. He's going to make adjustments. He's going to make it easier like he did with Castile.
Uh-huh.
I guess my question is, couldn't Madonna also do the same thing? Couldn't Madonna also be like, you know what, I've seen Floyd once. I can make adjustments, make this fight a little bit better for myself. Madonna's a little bit younger. I think for Floyd to duplicate what he did against Castile, he would have to use his legs a lot more than he did the first fight, like he did with the Castile fight.
Yeah.
I guess the question becomes, at 37 years of age, does Floyd still have the legs to do that for 12 rounds against a charging bull like Madonna? The one thing Floyd wasn't able to do was deter Madonna with his power. If he's not able to deter Madonna with his power again, then he's going to have to use his legs to keep Madonna off him. Can he do that at 37 years of old age? I guess that's a big question to me. Personally, I don't necessarily think, you know, from a plan, from a game plan, from a skill set, I don't think Madonna can improve much. I think he can improve conditioning a little bit. But coming in at 160 was a little heavy for him, which is why I think he kind of faded down the stretch. I think the brightest thing that was said all night was something that was just said by Edner, though. It was very obvious, very obvious. And I never thought about this till Edner said it, but it was extremely obvious after Edner states it, that Floyd did not have a game plan. He just went in there basically doing whatever he thought he could do. He figured he could do his typical Floyd Mayweather shoulder roll, pot shot the guy, and he'd win. And you know what? He couldn't. And he really didn't have a plan B. Because he didn't have a plan, he didn't have a plan A going in. So he didn't have a plan B. He just did what he always does. And
yeah, he just used his technique. That was it.
Exactly. You know what? No one has ever said that. No one has ever said that. You're the first person that brought that up, that he went there just to use his technique and his fundamental skill set to beat this guy, but he never had a plan to negate this guy, and that's what caused the problems. And I think the biggest thing he can change is actually going into the ring with a game plan.
Then, you know, I think for this fight, Madonna, I don't think he will come with anything special. But like the only thing I'm looking at for Madonna for this fight, just come in a little bit in better shape and don't fade. And fight the same fight, and that's it. I mean, I don't see Madonna come and try to outspeed Floyd, try to bob and move and foot movement. But I'm seeing Madonna coming in. If he, you know what I'm saying, this what I'm looking at. If he want to win the fight, he come just like what he did last fight, come doing that, but come in better shape, but don't fade, but fight every fight the same way you start the first round. You know, I think he'll give Troy trouble. But it, you know, just like what you said, like he had came heavier, you know, heavy, but it kind of caused him, you know, he started fading. You know what I'm saying? So so that's what I'm looking at.
Great. Whatever. We don't want to keep you from your family. I know you always have a lot of family things to do. So, you know, Zito, did Zito get a hold of you? Was he able to get a hold of you?
You're talking to me?
was Zito able to get a hold of you to do a
Did you gave him my number?
Yes.
Okay, he hasn't got a hold of me yet.
No, well, he will. He's been backed up on a couple things, and we don't want to put any pressure on him because he's not feeling well right now. So but he will get to you, and we'll get to
yes sir
on Doghouse for you.
Okay.
Well, I want to thank you again for giving us your time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I will talk to you during the week, and we'll see if we can't set something up for Saturday when we get over there. You know, those Hardy Wildcats are just as wild as they ever were, and they're hardy.
So it's always fun
over there to play.
Yeah. So when y'all be coming down to play Hardy?
Saturday.
Oh, this
Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah, next Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, you know what? I will try to make that game. And you know what I'm saying? Then I'll just go ahead and give you a visit. And you know, hopefully I'll standing with you over there.
Sure.
You know,
that'd be great.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, just give me a buzz and let me know what time y'all playing.
Right.
You know,
right.
Where I will shoot over there.
Okay. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Say
yeah,
a little
yes, sir.
Kids for me.
Okay. Oh, do you want to say hello to her right quick? You want to hear her voice right quick?
Sure.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Hello?
Hey, Elizabeth, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're on the air with Ty and I. We're just telling.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm good. How are you?
It's a pleasure to have you on. We hear about you all the time, and all our listeners do. So it's nice that they can finally put a voice with a name.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Birmingham talked about you very well, and you know, I tried to talk about you very well, and so we're pleased to have Edna on with us when he can give us time, and it's really a pleasure to have you on with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Well, you take care.
Thanks. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you.
All right.
Great weekend.
All right, Frank.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much. That was great to. Now everybody knows that there really is an Elizabeth.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
She's a sweet.
Yeah, so, yeah, so just give me a call Saturday or Friday. Text me and let me know what time. Yeah, then I will bring you an autographed picture. I made a brand new picture. It looked pretty nice, and so I will go ahead and autograph you one. That I will bring you with me on Saturday.
That'll be great.
Yes, sir.
Right here, my Hall of Fame. All right.
Yes, sir.
We were, I wanted to ask you something. What the hell was I going to ask you? Nothing in from the cow yet. So, hey, Ty, why don't you, while we got this last couple minutes here, why don't you give us an idea about you and your wife and your training programs?
Well, what it is my wife owns a company. It's called Mobile Fitness, and she's actually she's a personal trainer, and I train clients. It's more so boxing than anything. I do a little personal training, but more so I train clients boxing fitness. Probably similar to an Aaron Janko, although I would never claim to have his expertise. She's been in the business for about 7 years, and she's building an online platform as well, so you'll be hearing about that as soon as she gets it together.
Nice. Excellent. That's great. Now, are you still doing Muay Thai?
Yes, I am. I haven't been training as diligently because I have a film project that I am working on, so it's kind of kept me out the gym. I've been able to work out. I'm still working out 4 days a week, but I haven't been able to get the boxing training in. I've been more so just training people.
on your film thing, how's that progressing?
Oh, that's going real well. Thank you for asking. We are at, I'm in the middle of editing. I'm about 20 minutes into it, so we still have a ways to go. But we have a tremendous cast. We have Spike Lee. We have Kevin Smith of Clerks fame. We have two-time Oscar winner Rob Epstein in the film. We have Edward Burns from Saving Private Ryan, as well as.
Wow.
Things are going well. Things are going well. We just have to go ahead. I just got to go ahead and edit it and get it done. Get it off this machine, and I'll be ready to go. So,
that's good. Sounds like a great film.
Oh yeah, we hope so. I'm trying to make it a great film. Right now, I think I got 20 minutes of a good film, so I'm working on making it 20 minutes of a great film before I move on to 30 minutes. So.
Yeah, good, good. Well, we're just about at the end of our time here. I want to thank you for coming on once again Send our best wishes out again to Zito. I hope he's feeling a little better. Dr. Chris wasn't able to be with us tonight. He's also under the weather. But he keeps threatening that he wants to, Tex Cobb wants to come on, and he wants to bring him on. So we'll have him in about 3 weeks.
Tex Cobb and Dr. Chris, that's just an hour of being censored by the FCC.
That's true. Just their stories.
Do we really want to do that is the question. As entertaining as it is, do we really want to take the risk?
Do you want to lead us out?
But, you know, it's been great being on with you, Butch. I wish everyone a pleasant week. Zito, we miss you. Hope we'll see you next week. Bob is our co-pilot. We thank you for caring.
These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, Police and Fire Services. Remember, when you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, just say thank you. It means the world of good to all of us. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Polkat, Sergeant Thomas Baitner, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Renato Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Val Hope, Longboat Key Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrol, Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, PA Police Department, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer John Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson of the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Robert Germain, the Windermere, Florida Police Department, Florida Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rain fall softly on your feet. May the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the household of his hand.
Grief and pain are all I know. fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field.
Responded to his last emergency. End shift 6:13.
I'm gonna put it in the thing.